Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Tom Dorian.
Yes, sir.
Hello, welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
You know, we've done this so many times, I've had a big case of deja vu right now. It's like we've been here before, and we have so many times, almost 400 times. We've been sitting.
But we've never been here with all this kind of stuff in front of us.
It is festive.
This is festive. This is exciting.
So we are, Advent is usually about...
Preparing.
Mm-hmm. Certainly it is. People fully understand what Advent is. Mm-hmm. And we live that. We encourage that. And building up to that Christmas, to the incarnation, to that celebration. And so Advent is really an important time to be solemn and sacred and preparing for the joy of Christmas, the joy of Jesus' coming, and of course, so the joy of knowing Jesus in the end times, right?
Right.
When he comes again. And so this is all important part of Advent. But the reality is we also live in a world that literally on October 31st and a half, Christmas commercials start coming on television.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah,
don't you hate that?
I kind of do. One of the things we do is
get past Thanksgiving, dude.
I know, but here's the deal. One of the things we do as a family is I've got 9 kids, and I've started this $10 deal that I award the child in my family that sees the first Christmas tree in a home that's lit.
Oh, wow.
They get $10. They win the contest. Well, this year it was before Halloween.
Are you kidding me?
No. Someone had a Christmas tree up before Halloween.
There's no way.
No, they did. So,
oh, wow.
So there you go. I'm out $10, and I'm this is crazy. But I will say this. The world wants us to celebrate Christmas. I mean, the day after Halloween, all of a sudden we're watching, beautiful snowy scenes. People ripping paper off, at Target and mm-hmm. Walmart commercials. And, of course, some beautiful little English girl hugging a BMW, the greatest Christmas present she ever won, whatever. We start to see these commercials and they're just I'm thinking, it's still kind of hot. It's still kind of and I've got all this Halloween candy. So I'm eating this pumpkin shaped Snickers, and I'm watching a commercial about Christmas. Is there something weird and wrong with this?
It doesn't make sense.
But so as we get into Advent, what do we do? How do we prepare? So we got some great shows that we have here. You can just Google Advent or really go to our website and search that term Advent, and you will find several shows about how to prepare, how to make the best and the most out of your Advent.
That's
easy
right.
things to do. So we don't want to talk about that so much as I want to talk about there are things that we do as we ramp up towards Christmas, and I think it is appropriate and good to watch some Christmas movies.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and you are a movie buff. You and I share that.
Recall is not as good as yours, but I do appreciate them.
Yeah, I think you remember more than you admit. The point is, we challenge each other every once in a while with a couple of contests or whatever. And we're not going to do that so much here. I thought it would be good for us to sort of recall what are our favorite Christmas movies.
It'd be great.
And I don't want those softballs. We don't want the ones everybody knows it's this and this and this and this. It's I want to know why it's your favorite. You can't just say, this is a good movie because everyone thinks it's a good movie. It's no. I understand that they put on, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every single year, that little stop-motion animation Rankin Bass thing.
Right.
I understand that, but why would that be your favorite? Why is that a favorite? What is in there that's good? So that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
And I actually think it's a beautiful way to prepare for Christmas. It's a beautiful way to spend Advent. And I'm not talking about watching a movie every single day, but I am talking about using these movies as an opportunity for growth, as an opportunity to make yourself aware of Christmas, to bring joy into your house.
Absolutely.
Right? So, favorite.
Right.
I'm going to tell you where I start.
Okay.
All right, we'll do it that way. I'm going to tell you where I start with the holiday movies.
Okay.
And
Have you already started?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do try to stay until Thanksgiving before we start watching stuff.
That's good.
But occasionally, I will admit, I've flipped something on TV and saw on Netflix or on Hulu and watched one of those silly Hallmark Christmas movies because
those are great.
I needed a good cry.
Yeah.
I just needed to clean my system out, And sometimes I've done that a little bit before Thanksgiving. How do you start off? What do you like to watch?
Well, for me personally, it's Bells of St. Mary because I remember where I was when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember who was behind me when I saw it or in the other room. It was my mom and my grandmother.
Yep.
Remember it and I saw it for the very first time in that old clinky black and white television. You know, I had the pliers to turn the channel. That kind of thing. So I had that.
That brings back memories.
Oh, huge.
I want to talk about that movie for a second because it's older sister.
Right.
Is Going My Way.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So Bells of St. Mary's came out in 1945. In 1944 was Bing Crosby. He was Father O'Malley in both pictures. And so that's a classic, too. And it really becomes a kind of a holiday movie, really, because that closing scene in Going My Way.
Right.
Right, when his, like, 900-year-old mother, you know, they fly her in because he couldn't afford to go see, you know, and that's Father Fitzgibbons, he's 800-years-old priest.
Right.
You know, and young Father O'Malley with the new hip and cool kind of mentality, right, comes in, and it's just a neat thing. And there's just that classic moment when the reunion at the end and the Silent Night is being sung.
It's perfect.
It makes you cry. And then,
tear-jerkers.
There's moments in that Going My Way that are so... The music is wonderful. I love Bing Crosby. Yeah. I love, you know, but it's like, would you like to swing on a star? You know, it's
that's good.
And then there's the classic. The best scene in that movie is when Father Fitzgibbons is in bed with a cold, whatever. And, you know, and Father O'Malley, Bing Crosby, goes in there and says, where do you keep the Irish whiskey? I know you got it in here. You know, and he gets it out and they have a little glass. And then he sings him to sleep with Tooraloo-a-loo-a-loo-a.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's like, oh, it's so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I love it. And Father Fitzgibbons, you know, his voice, Father O'Malley, you know, his voice is the voice that I use if I don't want the priest to recognize me in the confessional. bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a wee bit of time. It's been about 3 weeks since my last confession. But it's beautiful. And so then I love Bells of St. Mary's because you love that movie. And it harkens back a memory, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right.
To where you were.
It was Christmas time. It was the perfect night.
Man, awesome.
So a close second for me is It's a Wonderful Life. I know that's one of your favorite movies, if not your favorite movie.
Look, I'm going to tell you something about It's a Wonderful Life.
That's a tearjerker.
I still watch that movie, and there's some really funny commentary in there about families. You know, Ernie and Bert, the taxi driver and the cop
stuff.
And what they do. This is really
classic stuff.
You know, really funny stuff. And then, you know, at the end, I mean, when everybody starts bringing all that money in, I cry every time. Why can I not?
Yeah.
I'm just a sentimental big wimp.
And then the other thing for our family is Elf. Our family will get together. When we kick off Christmas, when we get together, we'll click on Elf, and we have a blast with that.
Man, what a funny movie.
It is funny.
I don't know where that came from, if that's a story from a book or whatever, but the reality is, and again, now I'm not a big fan of some of the movies that some of those stars have done, like Will Ferrell.
No.
In this situation, he is just an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Some of the other movies I don't recommend for the kids. Okay? Right. Don't just think that if it's one of those movies, Will Ferrell, then it's a good movie to show the kids, because it's not, typically. But Elf is done so... it's directed by Jon Favreau, who also is not always the most wholesome family. But, man, they really did it up on this thing. And they guaranteed they would make $100 million every year.
Yeah.
From people buying this thing, because it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's just phrases like cotton-headed ninny muggins or whatever. It's like, where does that come from?
Yeah. Or, bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Mr. Narwhal. Thanks, Mr. Narwhal. It's like, where does that come from? But it's hilarious.
It's good
Man,
stuff.
Man, and what an awesome... Again, there's some great messages in here.
Right.
Messages of hope, of miracles, of, you know, what's that one? That one really is all about Christmas spirit.
It is.
You know, Ed Asner's an interesting choice for Santa Claus. You know, but still, you know, the whole idea of Santa's sleigh not being able to fly because of a lack of Christmas spirit.
Right.
You know, there's some beauty in, like, all of us.
We all need that.
Raising the spirit.
That's right.
You know, where does that spirit come from? The Holy Ghost, you know? And so there's such goodness. Now, there's so many more movies we want to get through. We're never going to get through all of these. I got a stack sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
So no discussion about all this stuff, though, would be complete without Scrooge.
Depends on which Scrooge.
Well, this is a good point. You are now, we are like going to start a fight. Not between us.
People are territorial on
Aren't
Scrooge.
Aren't they? There's like, no, that's not the best version.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because I think that's probably the most made Christmas movie.
I would say that's correct.
Right. In fact, now, this year, in 2017,
even Muppets, there's going to
be...
Didn't they do one?
Yes, the Muppet Christmas Carol.
That's just crazy.
It's a classic.
I love the Muppets, but I just can't get my head around
Scrooge. No, it's because you've like closed the door on every other possible Scrooge. That's your problem.
You think that's it?
Yeah, I think it is. You're closed-minded. Okay. But that's okay. It's a Christmas spirit. I'm going to be generous and kind to you. But I do want to talk about some of these Well, first of all, we do agree on one thing about the best Christmas Carol movie.
It's the 1938 version.
Yes. Gene Lockhart, yeah. Reginald Owen. Yeah. It's only like an hour long.
Right.
It is the classic. And traditionally, I have watched that movie on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Just before I go to bed.
Okay.
Parents, you know what we're doing, right? So I'm there and I'm watching, and I just put it on. I love
that
movie.
That's kind of your background stuff. I got it.
Yeah, and so it's like, I love that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best Tiny Tim.
Oh, it is.
God bless us, everyone. You know, it's just, right? And it's where I've gotten phrases.
I didn't know you were doing impersonations today. That's great. I've learned something new about you.
I've gotten the phrase, a goodly batch. You know, about, he's talking about his wife's fig pudding or whatever.
Right.
And so I'll make a goodly batch of Chex Mix, you know? But there's just something about that movie.
Man, you do make good Chex Mix.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Our audience needs to know that. You need to sell that.
But there's a secret.
It's butter.
You just load the thing with butter. A stick of butter makes everything better.
Everything.
You put it on your cereal in the morning.
Great t-shirt.
A stick of butter.
Yeah, that'd be a great t-shirt, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It wouldn't go with the healthy people these days, but it's Christmas, right?
Hey.
Stick of butter.
Yeah, have a good
Actually,
time.
It's Advent. We're preparing for Christmas, so just add half a stick of butter, you know. All right, so what are the versions out there?
I don't even care.
I know, you're close-minded, but I want to open up the mind, because I like to watch the different versions every once in a while.
The one you're holding right there is the worst.
This is a George Minter presents
that's the worst.
A Christmas Carol. You say it's starring Alistair Sim.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It's a British production.
Maybe that's it. I'm sorry.
I like it. I do like it. I don't like it as good as the other one.
Yeah.
But I'm not so close-minded. I like, you know, I don't just eat steak. Occasionally, I also like to have a slice of pizza.
Well, there you go.
So here's the slice of pizza, and that is Alistair Sim. He does have this annoying where he, like, starts to laugh. You know, it's like, that's a little over the top. I'm not really into that. But and it's a 1950s version. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it's an okay version. And I even like the Turner Broadcasting version that was put out as a TV movie.
Okay.
When Turner was getting into making movies for cable.
I've never seen it.
Patrick Stewart, you know.
Oh yeah, okay.
Jean-Luc Picard.
There you go.
You know, the Starship Enterprise.
Perfect.
You know, Engage. You know, he's Scrooge, you know. And then there's the Jim Carrey animated Disney version of A Christmas Carol.
Is that any good?
Where they pull out all the stops. I enjoy it because I love Christmas.
That's style of film. That's similar to Polar Express.
Yeah, so it's an animated flick.
Okay.
But that style of animation, and I like it. And then, of course, if you really want to go off the deep end, there is the Albert Finney musical Scrooge. So if you want to see Scrooge dancing down the street singing,
perfect.
Not necessarily dudes really into that.
Yeah.
You don't like it, do you?
I like musicals, actually, but I cannot get my head around any other Scrooge other than 1938.
Okay. I understand that. Close-minded.
I'm a hater.
Yeah, you are.
I admit it.
But I will tell you, there's another funny one, but it's not family-friendly. Is that
a Scrooge?
Scrooged.
Version? Or a Christmas Carol version?
It's a Christmas Carol told in a modern thing. Bill Murray plays a TV executive.
That's
there's some funny effects and stuff like that, but the reality is
it's an adult film.
It's not good for the kiddies.
No, it's
maybe
not.
For the college kids or something. But there's just a lot of versions out there.
Oh yeah.
And of course
we
mentioned the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So we have to understand how many really cool things there are out there. But you know the cool thing about Scrooge is, you know, it's a thing to say to somebody, some miserly person. You always it's a negative thing.
Right.
You're such a Scrooge. Don't be a Scrooge.
Right.
And the reality is, we want to be Scrooge. He's actually the hero.
In the end, he is.
Think about it. It's about repentance.
That's
about
true.
Resurrection. It's about new life. The guy is born again.
Right.
He was a miserly, miserable old man.
And he's repenting.
That's right.
Yeah.
He changes, and then he becomes essentially an evangelist.
Yeah.
So if someone says you're a Scrooge, it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So maybe if you watch, you know, A Christmas Carol again or read the story, you realize, you know what? I want my life to end out like Scrooge's.
Perfect.
Hopefully not take as long as his did.
Right.
Right? But it's good to be Scrooge.
It is.
Not the early Scrooge. In the end. Exactly right. Right. To see that. So anyway, that's a wonderful thing. We have so many more movies that we're going to talk about. We're going to try to get to them as best we can, certainly. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, we want to take a short break. But I want to tell folks that we got a great website, thecatholiccafe.com.
Good Christmas treat.
Yeah. So Christmas treat. Go visit our website.
There you go.
Or even better treat, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, you know, Advent card, right? Send it to me at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history. Little is known about the details of the life of Saint Lucy. She lived in Syracuse in Italy in the early 4th century. One tradition tells us that her mother raised her to be a pious and holy young girl. She prayed fervently and often. Saint Lucy decided at a young age to consecrate herself to God, but she did so secretly because she thought her mother would not approve. In fact, she had already made arrangements to have St. Lucy married to a wealthy and influential pagan in town. However, her mother, who had been ill for a very long time, was miraculously cured after her daughter prayed for her at the tomb of St. Agatha. She was so thankful to God for this blessing that when she discovered that St. Lucy wanted nothing more than to live as a bride of Christ, she eagerly and thankfully gave her approval to her daughter's willingness to live out her vocation. Her rejected suitor, however, was not as thankful, to say the least. When he heard what had happened, he gave St. Lucy's name to the local governor and told him she was a Christian. This was, in effect, a death sentence, as Christians at this time were being persecuted, most being subjected to unimaginable torture and painful deaths. Tradition tells us that St. Lucy's eyes were gouged out. In fact, she is usually depicted in artwork holding a plate with her eyes upon it. But even though she was blinded in this horrible way, St. Lucy would not recant her love of Christ. Finally, after much suffering at the hands of her persecutors, she was eventually martyred. The name of Lucy literally means light, and it was evident that even though she was blinded, she could still see clearly the light of truth that shone brightly in the fledgling church of the 4th century. And her clear vision can serve as a tremendous example for us. In fact, she has been named the patroness of the blind. We can all, in a sense, be blinded by the allurement of sin. And it is only through the mercy of God that we are healed. It is only through the light of Christ that we can truly see again. St. Lucy is one of the many Catholic saints who can help us see that light. By following in her brave and holy ways, we too can be healed of our blindness. Her feast day is celebrated by the Universal Church on December 13th. I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history.
Welcome back to the Catholic Cafe. Here's Deacon Jeff.
And we're back in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. We're festively talking about how to spend Advent sort of ramping up to Christmas and using Christmas movies maybe and just seeing the good in them and seeing.
Right.
Before we start, I do want to mention something before I get to the end and forget to have said it. There are a lot of Christmas movies I think that are inappropriate and we shouldn't watch.
Right.
That really destroy what Christmas is really about, and then actually our negative impacts, and people think like, well, you know, it's probably okay, you know, and it's still festive and whatever. It's like, no, it's not.
Right.
It's not a good thing. There's horror movies, Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, and it's like one of those people, a slasher movie.
Yeah, that's not appropriate.
No, and then there's something called Krampus.
Yeah.
My kids know about it, and they're like going, Dad, that's some kind of legendary blah, blah, blah. And it's got a guy dressed up like Santa Claus, and he's like killing people and stuff.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, and so you start looking at that, it's like that, and then there's like the Bad Santa movies, a couple of, you know, and you look at that and you think, like, well, what are they teaching you? And what, at the end of the day, are the movies about good things? No, really, they're not. And even in some of the good movies, there can be some moments where we lean into, like, questionable moral territory. Mm-hmm. But as long as we're watching with our kids, they're still PG or whatever, we can explain things, we can talk about. And then sometimes those bad moral dilemmas end up good, like that movie Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Never seen it.
Okay, it's a good movie.
It's good?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I have to watch it, okay.
It's got the little kid in there that played in that Star Wars movie. But this is a good movie.
Okay.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger does a stupid thing, and he forgets to buy the hottest toy on the planet.
Okay.
A month in advance, which he was supposed to get. That was coming from his parents.
And so
you know,
he's probably scrapping and clawing to find it. And
yeah, doing everything he can. And of course, all of the mistakes. Bad ways of doing it don't pan out.
Probably slapstick.
Yeah, there's a little bit of illicit ways to try to come across this thing and what would we do.
Right.
But it ends up good, mm-hmm. and he ends up seeing the error of those ways.
Well, there you go.
Right. So there's some, it's a good movie for that, you know. And I have the Jingle All the Way Family Fun Edition.
I bet you do.
Which I don't know why it's a Family Fun Edition, because it's just the movie. But anyway, that aside. other movies that
Charlie
we love.
Brown Christmas.
So we have to talk about the animated movies, don't we?
Yeah.
Because we grew up with that.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Now, there was a time when you couldn't get stuff on DVD and VHS when we were first growing up.
Right.
We had to wait until CBS, NBC, or ABC
aired it
mm-hmm. once a year. Mm-hmm. And if you missed the night that Charlie Brown Christmas was on,
you just missed it. Right.
You're toast.
Yeah.
And all the kids at school saw it. Did you see Snoopy last night? No, I didn't. What? Where were you, church? Church! You know? It's like you had to see it. But there's like a whole slew of these Rankin Bass with the little stop action animation along with the classic Charlie Brown stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he's got the Halloween, Great Pumpkin, and the Thanksgiving, and the Christmas, like the great, triune...
Yeah.
Holiday classics,
oh, yeah.
you know, from Charlie Brown. And those are good. But see, there's also the ones like the Frosty the Snowman.
Classic.
Happy birthday. I didn't know, you know, that's what Frosty says. Santa Claus is coming to town and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, these love to tell you the history of Christmas, and they kind of forget the whole Jesus thing, you know. And that part is bad.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, there's that. But there are some of those, actually, that remember the Jesus thing.
Right.
You know, like the Little Drummer Boy. I mean, that's
a great one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And there's a very religious aspect to that. And so there's some neat parts to those things. And so I when they're on, so I bought the 47 DVD Blu-ray deluxe set so that my kids would have these to grow up on as well.
Perfect.
And they do love them. And they're a good way. Now I don't enjoy as much watching all of that stuff.
Right.
As I used to. But it does, like you said before, about when you're at Bells of St. Mary's, it brings back some memories.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's pretty cool. So then there's also, like, the Holiday Inn. I love Bing Crosby.
A classic.
It is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's a sort of sequel that came later, which is White Christmas, but the only sequel part of
it's
it
great one.
Is really just Irving Berlin's music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more... You know, it's in, you know, Christmas Vision. It's just one of those widescreen, Adele Waps, you know, stereoptic something or other, you know, big widescreen thing, White Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful and lush, mm-hmm. you know. And I'll be honest with you, kind of skip through some of the weird jazz dance numbers. But the music is beautiful. I love it.
Man,
you can't beat Bing Crosby.
No.
You know, he might have had some issues in his family life, but the reality is, man, the characters he portrayed and the person he portrayed.
Phenomenal.
And he was a really gifted gifted guy. And so, like we talked about, certainly about Elf, and that's one I highly recommend, and certainly It's a Wonderful Life and the ending there. But now there's also movies that I'm forbidden to watch, but I secretly watch.
All right.
The Christmas Shoes.
Now, I don't know that one.
This is one of those really sad, goofy, made-for-TV kind of things.
Okay.
But my wife doesn't like it just because of the song.
Okay.
And it's like, Mister.
It's a bad song.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like over and over again. It's played to no end.
Yeah.
You know, it's on all the soft rock stations constantly, 47 times an hour.
Okay.
They put this song on, so my wife is like, no.
For whatever reason, I can't imagine it right now.
So that's... Rob Lowe's in this movie, and it's a tearjerker about some woman who's dying, and Rob Lowe, and these intersecting stories that come together at the end. It's just, to me, it's just kind of, I like it. I like it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
I told you I'm sentimental, but I have to watch it in secret. One year, it's a very bad year. It was a very bad year, and that was the year that my wife hid this movie for me. So, we, you know, that was a dark time in our.
Did you go out and buy another one, or did you find it?
No, she fessed up. So, honorable mentions, other good movies: The Bishop's Wife, Cary Grant, Loretta Young, David Niven.
Honorable mentions?
Well, it's fantastic. I'm just mentioning it now because we don't have time to talk about it.
I got it.
Now, it is an Episcopalian movie, right?
It's okay.
But it's okay. It's The Bishop's Wife because Catholic bishops
it's
don't marry.
Like we're
just
not
gonna be clear about
that. Frosty the Snowman. Well, I don't want people to. Okay.
And then Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
But there's only one version.
Three Godfathers.
Well, Three Godfathers. That's John Wayne.
John Ford.
Man, I've never seen that. I got to see it.
Jr.
But go back to Miracle on 34th Street. What version?
It has to be the version with Maureen O'Hara and Natalie Wood.
Yeah. It's a classic.
Has to be that version.
Yeah. Got to see that one. So then Christmas in Connecticut is another really good classic.
Yeah.
It's kind of a screwball comedy thing with Barbara Stanwyck and Dennis Morgan.
That's right.
I love that movie, too. So there's probably more. You probably have favorites.
Oh, yeah.
But all of these movies have one thing in common that we like, mm-hmm. and that they're going to lead us to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ in appreciating the incarnation for what it is,
Amen.
What it was intended to be, and what it became, and the truth that it reveals.
Amen.
So that's why we want to find the good movies. And, you know, it's Advent, and people say, like, don't celebrate Christmas yet. But we got to step into Christmas. We got to step up to it, mm-hmm. decorate in steps, but also watch some of these movies to really, truly anticipate Christmas morning. And then even during the Christmas season after, we start to watch these movies some more. Continue to watch them for a couple of weeks after Christmas. You're allowed to do that. Welcome to the Catholic faith.
There you go.
So let's say a little prayer with Mary.
Let's do it.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association and is broadcast with ecclesial permission from the Most Reverend Martin D. Holly, Bishop of Memphis in Tennessee. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.